This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's June 25th, episode 942. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Oh my gosh, it's June 25th. That is crazy. It's almost July, like the worst month in the history of the world as far as heat in Arizona goes. But the rest of you are so excited it's July. Yay! Dude, it's been like 111, 112 here every day. It's awful. Just awful. It's my winter.
I can't believe half the year is gone already.
It's It's crazy.
We're starting the second half.
I know. Well, on a different note, I can't believe how many sweet people have gone on my Facebook page, watched the video of my baby taking his first steps. Beautiful moment.
Oh, he's so cute.
And telling me how screwed I am.
I was wondering about that, too. I love his laugh. He is so, he just laughs every time he falls down. He laughs when he gets up. He's just so cute.
I can't believe how many people have commented on that. But, you know it's a listener of ours when, Robin writes, "Oh, crap, you're encouraging this behavior?" Or another one of our listeners, Brenda, writes, "One word, hobbles." that's a horse person for you.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting when he's terrorizing the house and the pets and everything. And it's going to make it much harder, to keep an eye on him.
It's hard now. And he crawls so fast. So now he's getting up and walking. And, it's really, really cute, though. I can't believe how incredibly proud I was when he takes his couple steps. The first time I was I was blown away. I just can't believe that I made it this far. He's still alive. He is still happy. And he still likes me. And it's awesome.
Now, has he said mama yet?
He has said the word mama, and he'll say it, but I don't have any idea if he knows he's talking about me or not. I don't think he does. He just says it because he's heard it a billion times.
Well,
but
at least
he
he's saying it now. A month ago, he wasn't even saying it. So, you've come a long way. He's starting to look like a little man now.
I know. It's crazy. Well, anyway, thanks for all the moral support. And I may reach out to some of you maybe in a private message and say, "Help me. What do I do? I don't know what to do." We had to put locks on the toilets, Glenn. Locks on the toilets. Do you know
Wait a minute. I didn't even know you could do that. How do you do that?
You have to buy these things that go on your toilet. Chad had to install them. And if you have to pee really, really bad, you're better to just run outside and let it go in the yard. Because he goes up to the toilet, he pulls up on it and tries to play in the water. And it's many bad things could happen, but why would you want to play in the toilet? I can't even have the dog water in the house anymore. No dog food, no dog water. It all goes outside. They have to eat outside because he was eating the dog food and tipping over the dog water onto his lap.
Obviously, you're starving this poor child. Obviously, he's neglected. He's starving.
I know. Well, anyway, that is what's going on in my world. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Wednesday is way too far from the weekend edition. Biosecurity for the Show season opens the show with our horse health segment with Rutgers University. And then next up, the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, that would be Victoria, spills the beans on Hickstead, and the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge breaks another set of cross ties as listener Uta takes on Glenn. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I'm nervous. Uta's like a brainiac. What am I going to do against Uta?
Oh, you're screwed.
Yeah, I know. I pretty much am. Can we just call it now? I mean, Uta, you get the prize. There you go.
We would, Glenn, but I was talking to your wife, and the prize for Really Bad Ads today is a pair of riding pants, a full seat riding breeches, and we would love to have a picture of you wearing those. So we're pulling for you.
I am donating them to charity immediately. Immediately. Not that I have anything against Carrot's full seat breeches, but we already experienced that sight once of me in breeches, and nobody wants to go there again. Nobody.
You're right. You're right. But it would be funny. Well, you didn't have full seats on. It might change everything. It might give you a better look.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that will just change everything. All right, my turn. Happy birthday to my pony PT Scooter. He got lots of likes, like over 300 likes yesterday on his little his before and after pictures. But we know when his birthday is because, believe it or not, this lady that we rescued him from actually had his papers.
That's
so
crazy.
I know. So his birthday is June the 24th. He turned 7 yesterday. So thanks to all the love of all the people who posted there. And, boy, when you take a look at the before and after pictures, that even shocked me how far he's come in a year.
It's crazy. I'm so proud of you guys. Looking at that before and after that you posted, it's just shocking how bad he is in the first one and how unbelievably far he's come in the second one. He goes from this skinny bag of bones, sad-looking little pony to, like, this cute little carriage pony. It's adorable.
And he's starting to develop now for the first time. He's starting to develop some muscle. You know, he gained weight. Now he's actually, because we're working him more often, he's gained a little bit of muscle now. So it is kind of neat to see him turn all muscular and buff, you know.
So
and his attitude is kind of showing that too, by the way.
Is it really? It really,
yeah, a little bit.
I'm dealing with the, you know, I'm trying to, I've fostered this horse named Penny, and she kind of came to me in this situation, not quite as skinny. I mean, she obviously was skinny a long time ago, but she's been at MASH for 3 years, in a stall for 3 years. And so she is just wasted. I mean, there's no muscle, no nothing. And I'm trying to do things slowly, but how long did it take for you to start seeing some muscle come in, and how fast were you able to kind of get
it
to work?
I would say it's been a year, wouldn't you, Jennifer? It really, truly is in the last
really,
2 months.
Yeah. It's been the last 60 days that actual real muscle. Before that,
really?
It was, you know, he had lots of energy and emotional spunk, but there was no muscle tone. There was no endurance of any kind. His back would get sore walking in the carriage for 10 or 15 minutes when we first started with
really?
Him. He couldn't recover from anything of any physical exertion. So that was
the
most surprising part. Yeah.
He would trot for a length of a football field, you know, 100 yards at a time, and that was it. Now he can go pretty well. I mean, he can trot for 4 or 5 minutes now and then he stops. Then he goes, okay, that's it. I'm done.
Wow.
That's all I got.
I wonder how different it is to the body to be pulling something versus what I'm dealing with is the thoroughbred brain of like, oh, my God, I've got to go, but I can't. You know, it takes like, you know, like you said, like 5 minutes of her going out to the arena by herself, freaking out. Oh, my God, I'm here all by myself. Where is everybody? Oh, my God, I'm tired. That's what I was getting out of her. So, all right,
yeah.
So we're just going to have to keep on pushing and keep on trucking.
Yeah. I would say it's taken him a little longer than I thought it would. But
really?
But you know, before I looked, before I made this before and after picture, and then when I looked at that, I went, okay, yeah, we did come a long way. It was a reminder of how far he's come. You know, when you see him every day, you don't, you know, you see him every day, so you don't think about how bad off he actually was.
Right.
Anyway,
right. Well, you
all
guys
right,
have
your
done
turn.
A great job.
Thank you.
Well, this Daily Winnie goes out to a racetrack that I've actually never even heard of. And maybe that's just me because I haven't spent much time in Colorado, but it's in Aurora, Colorado. It's called Arapahoe Park. Have you ever heard of that?
Only because of TVG and actually seeing it on TVG.
Oh.
That's the only reason.
Did you know when you were watching TVG that it was in Colorado?
No.
No,
but TVG just tends to show the starting gate, and you see the name on the starting gate.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll be on a ticker at the bottom. But they never say Arapahoe Park, which is in Colorado. So they just did something that's pretty cool. And it surprises me twofold, for two reasons, actually. So they just announced that they've created a race day medication-free incentive program. So if you don't give any medication on race day to your horse and your horse wins, you will get a $1,000 bonus per victory. I'm not quite sure of the Arapahoe Park prize money that they have, but it seems like $1,000 is very generous at a track like that. It's not like Keeneland where it's a $40,000 race, you know. That's probably about half of what you're going to earn. So they are creating this special fund to give $1,000 to trainers who race a horse, actually just race a horse, void of any race day medication. You don't even have to win. You just have to run your horse without any medication. So that is fantastic. Then reading further down in the press release, they actually go on to say that the medications that are permitted that they're trying to get people to not use, I was thinking Lasix, like that must be it.
Right, that's the one you think of, sure, yeah.
Do you know that they can also run on Bantamine and I don't know what ketoprofen is, but I'm assuming it's like ibuprofen, some sort of medication to relieve
NSAID.
Swelling. Yeah, NSAID, exactly. So I was thinking Lasix, but actually Bantamine and NSAIDs, like any of those things. I didn't realize you could run on those legally. And
you know,
especially when you combine
I thought exactly the same thing, Jamie. I went, really?
Yeah. Like, yeah. We don't want you to run a bleeder, but we don't want you to, like, I can't. And then the combination of Bantamine. This need that just makes Arapahoe Park more endearing to me because that is such a great way to promote this and to you get in their pockets and give them money for not putting medication into their horses. So I hope other tracks take that up. And reading this, I hope they change the rules. You shouldn't be running horses on Bute and Bantamine. If I can't do a dressage test with a gram of Bute, you certainly can't go run a quarter, you know, half a mile at breakneck speed on Bute and Bantamine. It's ridiculous. So,
well, you know what I think.
I want to follow this thing, yeah.
I know, right?
I think because obviously we are such experts at racing, we should get invitations for box seats at the biggest news that came out since we talked on Monday, and that is that in 2015, the Breeders' Cup will be held at Keeneland. Don't
Isn't
you think
cool?
we deserve to be invited? But personally,
thank you.
I think so,
you know,
too.
You know what, Glenn? Big news here.
Yeah?
We just got an email from the folks at Keeneland, and they are awarding us two general admission tickets, the ones that have no view of the track. Yeah.
That's about it.
Now, see, I went to the Breeders' Cup when it was at in Louisville at Churchill several years ago, and it was packed. I mean packed to the gills, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And thinking back, like, where are those people going to go in Keeneland? Keeneland is small compared to...
Yeah, you and I have been to Keeneland when you could not walk. I mean, you literally, and that was a normal race day. There was nothing special going on. It was
right.
like a Friday. And you go there. We tried to go. Remember, we tried to go on the Friday of Rolex.
Yeah.
And Jennifer and I drove in on the Friday of Rolex. It was crappy weather, too. It was, like, rainy. We drove in the parking lot. They were parked all the way out in those fields, those huge fields. They were parked all the way out to behind the convention center building. I mean, it was crazy. We just left because we knew you would not be able to, let alone get to a betting window or see a horse. None of that was going to happen. So you're right. I don't know where they're going to put them all.
Yeah, so they've announced that the Breeders' Cup, obviously, this next year is going to be at Santa Anita. It's been at Santa Anita. That'll be 3 years in a row. And I've got to go this year. I can't take it anymore. So Santa Anita is going to be this year. And then next year, they're going to hold it at Keeneland. And then they're moving it to Del Mar, which is a reason for all of us to go to San Diego. I drove by the racetrack at Del Mar last week.
Oh, really?
When we were there. Yes, and they were... Sadly, I was going to take the whole family to a day at the races because that's what I would do. But they weren't running yet. They start actually this next month. They start in July. So I missed it by a couple weeks. But Del Mar is like right on the ocean, the Pacific. You can see it from the track, apparently. I don't know. I've never been, but I really want to go. That's kind of a bucket list racetrack. So I think we all need to do a Breeders' Cup this year at Santa Anita. Next year, we'll just make it part of our year. Go to Keeneland next year and then back to Del Mar. Let's do it.
Do you think, who do we call to get, because you know what? I'm not going if I have to stand in the crowd. I'm only going if I like have a box seat where I can actually sit down.
Yeah,
because
do
we've
you
done
know
the
how
stand
much those cost
thing.
At the Breeders' Cup? Go ahead.
And I think our chances of actually getting press passes are about zero.
Oh, no. I'll tell you who you call. You call Ticketmaster, and you order a ticket. That's who you call. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, all right. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was very exciting to see it come to Keeneland. Now, the reason they weren't bringing it to Keeneland, too, and I didn't get to read the article, is the track service. They were using synthetic service, but Keeneland has recently announced, I think, that they were going to go back to a natural service. Is that why they got it, you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure disappointed that they're going back. I think it was such a good move for racing to start doing that. But it's kind of like changing the Triple Crown. You just can't get anybody to do anything different in racing because it's all, that's how they do it, you know. So I'm kind of bummed. I do know that a lot of the handicappers and people that do stuff like that were really irritated with the synthetic surface because they felt like it changed the outcome of the racing and it was hard to handicap races, blah, 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 sore losers, it's better for the horses, it's not about you. So I don't know if that's the reason. I'm on like 10 soapboxes today. I got to calm down. I'm sorry. So that
well,
might be it, son. Maybe you're right.
Okay.
I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether that is actually true or not. I was just I thought I read that. You know, we read so much stuff, it all comes in one and goes out the other sometimes. And, you know, one of the things I did want to remember we talked about they were having the dressage WEG trials to make sure everything was okay in the stadium. Well, they didn't – for the dressage – for the WEG dressage test, the trial test, they didn't even have – any spectators come in. They wanted to do it without spectators. They had 15 riders from 9 nations compete in the Grand Prix Special, and the freestyle to test the organization and the field and the footing and the stables and the facilities and all of that, media services, everything. Well, apparently it went off pretty well. Carl Hester, you know, we all know Carl Hester. We've heard about him many times. He said it's going to be brilliant. It's absolutely spot on. From a structure perspective, the footing is excellent and will only improve. So he's really excited about it, and apparently there was really not a lot of negatives that came out of it. So now you see pictures of that stadium. It's huge. I mean, it's not something that we're used to seeing because it's a soccer stadium. It's not something we're used to seeing for horses, that's for sure.
Well, and you can find the pictures on Horse Talk. We'll post a link to it because the pictures are so bizarre. To see Carl Hester out there, you know, doing the extended trot and the final halt, and he's in this giant stadium, and there is not a soul in it.
I mean, there's
I know,
it's
kind of spooky.
It is so spooky to look at these pictures. And from what I read, they actually held a dressage show. They didn't just like let him go ride. They held a dressage show with like 15 riders. They invited
this
mock show, but they actually like got points and prizes and stuff. And they even did like musical freestyles, and not a person in the crowd. Apparently today they're going to do some show jumping, and they're going to let people in, and it's going to be a packed stadium, but they didn't let anybody in for the dressage. And it's very odd to see this stadium with him at the halt. Anyway, I'll post a link to it right now on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
To give everybody an idea on size, for those of you that have been to the Rolex Stadium at in Kentucky, that holds 8,600 or something to like that. This stadium holds 25,000. So can you imagine if they sell out the tickets? And, you know, the energy, these stadiums are made to reverberate the noise from the crowd because they live on that in soccer. Can you imagine with 25,000 people in a soccer stadium watching dressage?
No wonder they're not sold out.
Yeah, it's a lot of tickets. It's a lot of tickets. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. It'll be fun to watch.
All right, I'm posting right now on Facebook. Go ahead.
All right, well, let's do this.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, and we get to talk this morning with Clint Berger, the Director of Animal Care at Rutgers, and we're going to talk a little bit about equine biosecurity. That sounds very official and very scary, but it's something that we all have to practice, so everybody has to pay attention. Clint, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Well, talk to me a little bit about that. First of all, coolest job title ever. I would like to be a director of animal care. I feel like I am a director of animal care in my own house, but I don't get paid
on a good day. It's good.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Talk to me about
just like in our own houses.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. What does a director of animal care do?
Basically, I coordinate my staff that take care of the animals with the faculty that use the animals and the students that are at the university. There's 400 students in animal science, so the farm's quite a busy place when school's in session.
Okay, gotcha. So how much on a daily basis do you actually deal with animals, or are you more of an overseer of everything at this point?
I'm more of an overseer of everything. If there's an animal that needs attention, I'm there to make sure that that information, what's actually going on with the animal, gets transferred back to the faculty, and that we're all on the same page with what the horse needs for care.
Okay. So you just make sure that everybody does their job. So that's you're the guy that they see coming. They go, get to work. Here he comes. Is that true?
Yeah, they don't really do that, but no. Like if there's a horse that gets lame or vaccinations need to be given, I coordinate the people to do that. New horses coming in, they have to get quarantined for a certain amount of time and things like that.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit today about equine biosecurity. Tell everybody what that means.
Biosecurity is basically making sure that you're not bringing in a pathogenic organism onto your farm from the outside. The Rutgers farm is open to the public, which presents its own problem. It's kind of like a zoo where anybody can come on the farm at any time, and you don't know what their history is, where they've been, and they could be bringing diseases in, or they could be taking things that are endemic to the herd that don't cause problems back to their facilities.
Well, Dr. Berger, I freaked out when I saw this morning because last night I watched the first pilot episode of The Last Ship, where the entire world dies of some disease. So then I saw this morning and I went, oh, I don't want to deal with this today. So, yes, exactly. That was exactly right. By the way, it was a good, I'm looking forward to the rest of it. But anyway, I just had to throw that in because I was like, oh, man, biosecurity.
It sounds very scary. So what do you do? I mean, how do you, is it just part of the deal with people coming in and out and maybe transferring stuff, maybe not, maybe taking stuff home? Is it just something you have to kind of deal with?
For the most part, we just kind of deal with it. If we have an issue, then we limit access to areas. And we're not letting people go into the pastures and strolling around with the animals.
Right.
But they do have access. They can walk right up to the fences where the animals are. And so that could be a problem. We don't have problems with it. But it is something that we need to be aware of. And if something does come up, we need to be able to act quickly to get the situation under control and prevent it spreading and further outbreak to away from us then. The important thing is making sure that we don't have it leave our property once we get something.
Okay, so the way that I'm assuming we deal with this with horses, taking it back to just the equine part of it, is health certificates, Coggins.
The state law is any horse that's transported has to have a negative Coggins test, meaning that it doesn't have the disease, and that has to be kept up every 12 months. You have to have that test done if you're moving animals around. The
right.
problem comes in if you have a horse for 3 or 4 or 5 years or 10 years, it hasn't ever left the farm, you're not going to have that paperwork. And so when you do want to move the horse, then you have to get that paperwork.
And absolutely.
With people going to, I heard in the beginning, the dressage section of your show, and
yeah.
people are transporting horses, and the shows have policies on what the horses need from health-wise before the horses can even come on the property.
Right. And so things like that would be a Coggins test, a health certificate. Now, here in Arizona, which is where I am, you actually, this is the first place I've ever lived where you don't actually need a Coggins test to go anywhere in the state, but you have to have one to leave the state. And that's
the
first time
ever.
Yeah, and the
rules for in-state or out-of-state, yes. The rules for in-state or out-of-state are different.
In every state seems to be different. Does when you see like a big horse show going on in your area or something, as a director of animal care, does it just make you shudder, like the thinking of all the germs and diseases they could be passing back
and
forth?
No, not really, because for the most part, everybody's horses are healthy, and it's very limited, and that's why they make the news when there is a problem, because there's such little issues going on in the horse industry, that once there is a problem, like say with West Nile virus, it makes the news because there isn't that happening often.
Gotcha. So what do you recommend as horse owners that we really pay attention to and or do to make sure our horses are going to be safe?
Well, the primary thing is to make sure that you vaccinate them early enough in the spring
mm-hmm.
for the various things. The veterinarian working with you would know if there's other vaccines that need to be given, but the primary ones are West Nile virus, Eastern and Western equine encephalitis, tetanus, rabies, and then whether or not you want to do equine influenza. That's not really required, but it's something that would be recommended.
Right. Okay,
one thing that should be noted is if a horse coughs or sneezes, like that's a big thing for transmitting diseases. Mm-hmm. A horse is the spray for to put it in layman's terms, when a horse coughs, can go up to 50 yards.
Oh my gosh!
So that's not
that
like
happens
a person
when I sneeze
sneezing
too.
In a room and it's not going more than 5 feet. 50 yards is quite a ways.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just more things, ladies and gentlemen, to make you terrified about what your horse is doing and how many times they can get sick. But Mr. Berger, I don't know, is it Dr. Berger?
It's not Dr., it's Mr. Berger.
Okay. Mr. Berger, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, Rutgers, do you guys have a website? Is it Rutgers.edu?
The Equine Science Center. It has their own website. It's esc.rutgers.edu.
esc.rutgers.edu. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page, and if anybody has any questions or wants to learn more, they can go to that website. Thank you very much, Clint, for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and on that website, there's an Ask the Expert section. So if they have questions, they can post it on that. And that then goes to whoever is more qualified in that field to respond to that. So if it's
awesome.
Animal nutrition, it would go to a equine nutritionist. If it's animal horse behavior, it would go, a horse behaviorist would answer that question. So we try to make sure that the questions are answered with someone who's the most knowledgeable in that area.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, that's great. Thank you, Clint. And we will post a link to that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Well, now coming up, we have our Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and I want to give a shout-out to Debbie, who I do these with. And yesterday, she's pretty young, too. I think she's younger than I am. She went in for a hip replacement surgery because of an injury she had. And, you know, that's kind of a major surgery. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a major surgery. She hasn't been able to ride for like a year. And she's the one, she has Gypsy Banners. And she rides them all over, does some serious trail riding, and hasn't been able to ride. So she went in, decided to do the hip replacement surgery, and had it done yesterday. I haven't seen anything on Facebook yet as to how the surgery went. So we're waiting to hear back from her. But we wish her the very best over at Equestrian Collections. And I know she said she's going to be off for a little bit and not able to do much for a little bit. So we're thinking about you, Debbie. But here's Debbie with Equestrian Collections with the product of the week. And we're coming back with Victoria Spicer all the way from the Hickstead, as they say, Derby in England. Hi, Glenn, back with you. And I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections product of the week.
This week, I'm going to be featuring Perry's Metallic Padded Halter. I can't believe I haven't featured these before because they are super cool. I love the colors. What this is a really nice padded halter with the rolled leather chin and the, throat, rolled leather throat, and those good snaps. You know, the kind, I don't know what they're called, but the good kind that lay nice and flat against the head. And it's double-layered leather. It's Amish made. But the big thing about this is called the contrasting metallic leather halter. And what that is the inside of the cheekpiece, the nose, and the crown have some colored leather behind it so that it has just a peak of the color on the sides of the cheekpiece and the crown piece and the nose. So it's not overwhelming. It's not like purple or blue, it's just purple or blue, and it's just really, really, really pretty. And they come in some unusual colors, like they have pink and they have copper, which is kind of an orangey color, and they've got turquoise, which is to die for, turquoise, and they do have the purple and pink. So they've got a lot of different colors. It's a 1-inch halter, so you can get a nameplate to go on it. It's really, really a nice halter for $90. It's good quality leather with just a peak of color, so you can match it with your stable colors. And I just think it's really, really pretty. Everyone I've seen And everybody who's seen it always goes, oh, my gosh, that's so pretty. So I think it would be something, a really good gift for yourself or a friend.
And that's the Perry's Metallic Padded Halters. You can find them at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for Perry's Metallic, and they'll come up, and all the different colors. You can also find Equestrian Collections on Facebook. Just search for Equestrian Collections. Well, I have one programming note here for the Horse Radio Network. Today, coming out after this show, actually, is this week's driving radio show, and we made a little bit of a change over there. Wendy's been doing that show for 2.5 years now, and she decided that she'd like to take 1 week a month off. So hosting this driving radio show 1 week a month, we're very proud to say, is Coachman David Saunders, who we've had on this show, who is the coachman for the Queen for 20 years. And he is co-hosting. We recorded our first one. It'll come out a little bit later in the day, so look for that. David's always got stories and is always a lot of fun to hear from. So you can look forward to that. The last week of the month, David will be co-hosting the driving radio show. Hey, Jamie, I got a baseball-related horse story for you. How about that? Combining the two.
That sounds like the most perfect thing ever.
Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, we're going to talk about the Dodgers.
Never mind.
I give you the willies?
Never mind. Yeah, never mind.
The guy by the name of Frank McCourt bought the Los Angeles Dodgers, and when he bought it, it was losing $60 million a year, and he sold it in 2012 at a record profit and a record for all baseball team or all teams, period, any sports franchise. He sold it for $2.15 billion.
Okay.
So he made a little bit of money on it, so he has a little bit of money to spend right now, and he just bought a 50% share in the Global Champions Tour. Now, the Global Champions Tour is a 14-event circuit across Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. We've had him on our shows here before. It's a jumping show, and they try and go to mainstream stadiums and venues and bring general public in. They make it more fun. They combine music, and they bring in the best of the best. There's a lot of money involved. There's more than $12 million, actually, in the series. So they make it worthwhile for the top riders to do the Global Champions Tour. And he bought a 50% share in it, and he actually said in an interview with Bloomberg.com that he said that this sport is natural in terms of reaching out to very large international companies and expanding the audience. They really want to bring it to expand the number of shows they do, bring it to the United States, put it in stadiums, and bring people in, get TV coverage for it. And, you know, a guy that's sitting around with $2.15 billion to throw money at stuff probably, you know, is one to take that on. He loves jumping. He thinks it's just a good sports venue to invest in. He just gave last year, get this, $100 million to his alma mater, Georgetown University, the largest gift ever in their history.
Good Lord. Georgetown, not Georgetown University in Kentucky.
No.
No.
I think this is the
no.
one in Virginia.
D.C.
This has to be the
D.C.
one in Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, it was the largest gift they've ever had. But
Georgetown,
boy,
Kentucky,
think,
with $100 million, they'd be like, we got kegs for everyone. Everybody gets a beer.
They could quadruple the size of that university with $100 million.
My God.
So that's kind of exciting news that we have, you know, non-horse people outside the horse industry now looking at the horse industry as a place to invest money. That's kind of cool.
You know what I think is kind of cool, and this is going to be purely an American point of view, I'm sure, is that it was not a racing venue. Because, you know, as far as the big business model, horse racing has always been, in the Americans' point of view, where money is, not in the what we might call the Olympic sports or in rodeo. So it's kind of cool that somebody is going, oh, show jumping. Let's try that. That's really cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hey.
I hate to say it was the Dodgers, but I know that gave you chills.
Well, you know, he made money on them, and then he cut loose. So good for him. That's awesome. Hey, did you see me post something on Facebook a couple of days ago, Glenn? I just wanted to vent for a second. Why do people, when they take pictures of miniatures, dressage horses, Morgans, even those god-awful big lick Tennessee walking horses, they feel the need to tilt the camera so it looks like their horses are running uphill or climbing a wall or something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about. And I was surprised at the number of people that posted a response on your page, actually.
There were actually people who were mad at me. But I'm like, what am I, an idiot? The fence in the background does not go uphill. There's a fence right behind you. I can clearly see. There's a person that has minis in this area, and some of our listeners know who she is. And I love the pictures. I love it when they drive around. I love it. But every picture she posts, these minis are climbing a mountain. I'm like, come on. Come on, I'm not stupid. I see the fence behind them. Like, the fence line is not level. I know.
Have you noticed, though, Jamie, that same technique has creeped its way into the dressage world?
Yes, I said dressage. It's amazing. Yeah. Like you can see the fence of the dressage arena behind you, and E is on its back. Like, seriously, that's not really real. So I understand that people put on there, it adds drama, they do that to get a better angle, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But what I'm saying is you're not fooling anybody. Just make the horse real. Let's do real. But it made me think of something because Jennifer and I were talking before the show. And they put on here that it makes the horses, like they're stretching out to pee. And I found out that your pony pees while he's eating.
Yeah, P.T. Scooter does this weirdest thing. He'll be eating hay or grain out of a bucket, and he will pee while he's eating. He's the only one we've ever had.
That I've never, ever heard of that. So that's our Facebook question of the day is, does your horse stop to pee, or does he pee and continue about his business eating or whatever you want to write, Jennifer? But I need to find out. I've never seen a horse continue to eat.
We got it. Okay. I will have to take a picture sometime, and only horse people would appreciate this, but he will actually be eating grass and peeing at the same time.
That's insane. Never. I got to ask Victoria about this. Victoria, come on here, and let's ask Victoria. Victoria, have you ever seen a horse pee and eat at the same time?
I haven't. No, I think he's one in a million.
Yeah, I've never heard of
that. I have a special
that,
pony.
Ever.
You do have a very special pony. But I'm also quite confused because I'm presuming it's a horse, and I don't understand how a male can do more than one thing at once. So he is a very special horse indeed.
Exactly, girl. I don't know. I mean, this is a really special male. If he can do two things at once like that, that's amazing. So I'm not even going to ask Glenn, can you pee and eat at the same time? I can't. I think it takes concentration. I'm going to ask my husband.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Anything to shut her up, Victoria. She's on a roll this morning.
That was a strange conversation to start my segment off, so yeah.
They brought
Victoria,
it up.
Victoria, of course, is with horseandcountry.tv, and you are covering Hickstead. You call it a derby, we call it a derby, but we'll go with you. Hickstead Derby right now. And we talked about this last year. Is Hickstead Derby the one where that has that huge hill that everybody takes pictures of and posts everywhere?
Yes, so 10-foot, 6 foot drop of the Derby bank with a nice 3-foot jump on top of the bank and a 5-foot, I think it's 5'10" at the bottom of the bank. So,
oh my God,
quite difficult, yeah.
That's
so
5'10"
at the
bottom.
Yes,
oh,
2 strides after the bottom of the bank and a huge big upright. It's quite scary.
Ugh. So tell
That's
us about 5'10"? The Derby. What is it?
Oh, my God. Sorry, carry on.
Well, Hickstead is one of the most established showgrounds in Britain. It's been here since 1960, so more than 50 years. And the Hickstead Derby started in 1961, and it's it's this iconic class in Britain, and it has all these kind of old school fancies that you don't often see in these kind of modern show jumping classes. So you've got big five bar gates, and you've got Irish banks and ditches and open water and all these other things. So it's a really exciting class, and the course hasn't changed much at all since the very first time it happened. So every year you come and it's the exact same course. I'm sure some of the old timers don't even need to walk it. They know it so well now. And that's the feature class on Sunday. But I'm here all week now. We start today with lots of national classes, and then the international classes start tomorrow. So I'm actually having a few days off Horse and Country, but just switching on to my other job instead.
Now, I read that there's going to be 1,800 horses that are expected.
Yes, it's quite a lot, isn't there? So there's
wow.
six rings at Hickstead, and entries have just been so busy this year. They're filled up really quickly. They had people entering at midnight that just were 1 minute late, and they had to get rejected because it was just so full. And so we've got classes from, like, you know, 1 meter upwards, so lots and lots of kind of grassroots and amateur people, as well as top riders.
That's amazing. That's a lot of horses for any horse show. Now, is there big money here, or what's the draw? Is it because it's so prestigious? Is it the money? Is it both?
It is prestigious. I mean, we have two fixtures here, so I'm back in about 6 weeks' time for the Royal International Horse Show, and it's a five-star show, so it's one with huge prize money and all the sort of top highest ranked riders in the world, and we're hoping to get even better riders than usual this year because it's just ahead of the World Equestrian Games, and that's only just across the water in France, so people might decide to come over to Hickstead for a bit of a dry run. So it is home to some of the most prestigious competitions, and people just love the Derby meeting, and there's some great prize money throughout the week, but the Derby itself has got a prize fund of about £111,000, so quite a lot of money, and about 30-odd thousand for the winner of the Derby itself.
And I assume there is good eating and shopping?
There is hundreds of trade stands, and I don't get to leave the press office for long enough to go shopping, which is very unfair. So there's everything here from riding clothes to country wear and food and gifts and various bars. And show jumpers like to party, so it's always quite a fun place to be.
I have one quick
question.
Before, okay. Jamie, I have one quick question. Is there, like, Wimbledon is going on right now, too, and, you know, all of these big tennis sporting events have a signature drink. Is there a signature drink at the Derby?
Well, we have a couple of bars. We have a Pimm's bar. I don't know if you guys have Pimm's in the States. Is that popular over there? It's a very British
no.
thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of... It's a drink that you have with like strawberry and cucumber and mint and orange, and so you can pretend it's not really alcohol. And that is very popular at shows and also at Wimbledon as well. It's one of the favorites. And we have a champagne bar, so it's a tough life at Hickstead. So, I'll obviously be working too hard to go to either bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put in Google Hickstead Bank, and if you just Google image Hickstead Bank, you can just click the right arrow and you'll see like a million different amazing photographs of people either very successfully navigating it or very unsuccessfully navigating it, and you see what amazing athletes' horses are, blah, 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 and then you come up on the one that we've seen before, but I need to ask you, do you know what photograph I'm talking about?
Is it the horse coming backwards down the Derby bank?
No, it's the horse that is leaping. Apparently it's Ben Mayer, and it's the horse just taking a flying leap from the top of the bank, not actually navigating down the bank, just actually flying off the top. Is that a real picture? Did that really happen?
Wow. I can't remember which picture it is exactly, but when Ben won the Derby in 2005, he won the Speed Derby as well. And in the Speed Derby, they come down the more gentle slope of the bank, so it's not quite as scary. So I can't remember if it was him jumping from the top in the speed derby or whether it was one of the other derbies like Hamburg or La Boule. But the only person that's jumped from the top of the Hickstead Derby bank and they fell off the bottom was Annette Lewis. And it's worth Googling Annette Lewis. She had a horse called Tatooin, who was a grey, and Annette had the most elaborate jumping style that you've ever seen. Her legs were flying out backwards, so definitely Google her and post the picture if you find it, because she was really entertaining to watch back in the 80s. And yes, her horse jumped from the top of the Derby bank and luckily survived to tell the tale.
Okay, yeah, this is not the Hickstead Derby. It's the Hamburg one. But I haven't seen this one yet, but yeah, she doesn't seem to have the nicest form.
Now, before we let you go, I've got to ask a question. And kind of, I'm sure you guys are all talking about it. There was a social media rule that just came out for British eventing. And basically what it says from different accounts, I'm reading it right here, but it's hard for me to understand this language, is that British eventing recognizes that the internet provides unique opportunities, but people that are associated with British eventing are now no longer allowed to post anything about British eventing or any arm of British eventing that may be negative at all. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have heard some things. It was more when we had that awful weekend a couple of weeks ago and two riders died, and I saw them talking about new social media regulations. And I could understand the point there about not speculating and not talking, because obviously there were two fatalities and these riders have families that need to be informed, and it's not the right way to find out, gossip from Facebook and Twitter. But I think in terms of controlling what your members say on social media, I think there is such a thing as free speech. And I think it's incredibly difficult to police. Social media has done wonders for equestrianism, but it has had a flip side, and people are able to make anonymous comments that may not be true or may be libelous or inflammatory or a bit unfair. And I think it's a case of everybody just having a bit of personal responsibility, but I don't think you can police the entire thing. It's just not what social media is about.
Well, and the report from Eventing Nation, of course, the American website on eventing here, it's basically says that British eventing is adopting a Big Brother social media policy, and they kind of break it down in more of a negative connotation, saying that they don't want people to have a voice. British eventers must follow the rules, and if they don't follow the rules of what they are allowed to post, British eventing has the right to press civil and criminal charges. They can also demand deleting posts at any time, failure to delete results in punishment. British eventing can and will monitor, intercept, and review social media postings and activities. You are prohibited about posting anything that can be viewed offensive. Like, it's this whole long thing, and I just really feel like, sadly, you know, good or bad, there are people that want to share their opinions on social media, and I don't know how you're going to be able to keep that. So maybe take a look at that. It's at BritishEventing.com has the social media rule in their language, and of course, you know, there's always a spin on every website, on Eventing Nation certainly, but I just wanted to know your opinion.
I assume that's like our USEA, United States Eventing Association. This is not the British Eventing is not the FEI part of it. It's your Eventing Association. Do you have to be a member to compete there, Victoria?
In affiliated competitions, so yes. There's plenty of unaffiliated, which is obviously not controlled. But I guess what will happen is that, you know, it's not just a case of you can make a slightly negative comment, but I think they probably want people not to be offensive and not to post untrue statements. People.
Well,
so
guess what they just
probably
invited. you tell a bunch of inventors they can't do something, guess what? So guess what they just invited. There's going to be more negative comments in the next week than you've ever seen before about British eventing. Coming up.
It could be true. We will monitor the situation before next week, I think.
Thank you, Victoria. You go back to work. Have fun at Hickstead, and good luck this week.
Thank you very much. I will let you know who wins the derby, and we will catch up next Wednesday.
Try to have
Horse
some fun, girl.
Yeah.
I'll try. When I'm not working hard, I will try. I
have
might
some of those,
have
some of that champagne. Have it for
Indeed.
Me, too. Have it for Jamie, too. What the heck?
Yeah, I will. We'll I'll do it for the two of you.
Yes. Take one for the team, Victoria. Take one for the team. Well, we're going to take a break for little Dan Roberts here, only in Texas.
Boot wearing calf, roping cattle, ranching gate, open buckle wearing, barbecuing beer, drinking pig ropes and hay, baling, friendly, driving fiddle, playing son of a gun. Double hocking steer, tripping washer, pitching cow, tipping snakes, shooting jukeboxing, honky tonking, haggard living church, going W voting proud. Where they're from? In Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. Yeah, we got it all, only in Texas. Horse hauling, bronc busting, bull riding, trail dusting, barrel racing, bulldogging, hats, stetching, boots justing, rodeo and wrangler wearing, spur jingling, real cow hands. Cattle grazing, two-stepping steer, hazing, chip, kicking, chili, cooking, Lone Star appreciation, pistol packing deer, tracking Alamo, remembering land. In Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. And we've got it all, only in Texas. Hey, we got it all, y'all, only in Texas.
That was Dan Roberts with Only in Texas. You can find all of his songs at oldbootsmusic.com. That's oldbootsmusic.com. I am Glenn the Geek, here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair on Horses in the Morning.
Are you nervous? Are you nervous?
I am getting a little nervous. Utah's tough. I mean, how am I going to beat Utah?
Well, what he's talking about is we are about to play the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Challenge. And the celebrity, we couldn't find any.
It's
so
me.
We're using Glenn. And he's playing our listener, Utah. And the questions were written by one of our listeners, Lindsay. So this is a family event today.
All right. Here we go.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge.
That's me.
Where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
Yes,
all right.
You heard it right. Go ahead, Glenn.
I'm a celebrity today. I have to enjoy it while I can because it only happens like once. So
yes, well, the prize today, and I think you're going to look fantastic, Glenn, in your celebrity breeches if you do choose to win them, is the Carriage Crossover Full Seat Breeches. They're worth $120. Carriage Crossover Full Seat Breeches are made with Carriage's durable, dynamic, extreme fabric. It's combined with the proprietary Nubuck
creating a full seat breech, perfectly engineered for the rigors of barn and multi-day riding. Come on, carrots are like the best. The tailored yet sporty style performs with the precision you can precision fit. You can look and feel confident in. They're the favorite breech of our friend eventer Jessica Heidman, who will also be a guest on this week's Stable Scoop radio show. You can find all of Carrot's products at carrots.com. And Glenn, what is your charity you're playing for today? Who gets the breeches?
I'm playing for friends of ours. They're called Lope, and it's L-O-P-E.
Oh,
they're in
them.
Texas. We've had her on a number of times here. Remember, she was the one that had all the bad luck. She rescues Texas racehorses and trains them up and gives them opportunities for a new career and finds them new homes. She's a wonderful lady. She moved, remember, last year, she moved to that new place. They got flooded out within a month of moving there and all this stuff, and it's just an awful situation. But that she had last year, she's recovering from that, and now they're doing a campaign to raise money to lease a new facility because she's outgrown the one where she's at that floods. And they're actually doing a fundraising campaign and doing an auction and things. So I'm sure she could put these carrots full seats in the auction and make some money on them to help with her new location. So great organization, LopeTX.org. LopeTX.org.
Okay, see, now you know what you've done is I'm looking at LopeTX.org, and I would like to adopt Sharp Albert. I would also like to adopt Little Bit Naughty and Shirley's Glow. So this is the problem this causes for me, is Texas is only like two states away. I can get it.
She has some cute horses there, too. And she really, fattens
Albert
them up and trains them up and, does a good job with them. As rescues go, it's fairly a small operation, but she does it right, and that's one of the reasons that we like Lope. Well, we have my competitor who threw down a challenge a couple weeks ago. I think it's while you were playing with Lindsay Roush, right?
Lindsay.
How it came down? Yeah, okay.
I think so.
You were playing Lindsay, and then Usa challenged me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that how it worked?
I don't remember how.
Remember.
I think it was, last week.
I don't
know.
It was a couple weeks ago. Who knows?
Who cares?
Uta, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Okay. So Uta has been a listener of ours probably since day one, right, Uta? I mean, you've been around forever.
Probably not day one, maybe day two.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody listened to day one. We didn't even want to listen to day one. But Uta, thank you so much, one, for being a listener, and two, for playing along today. Tell us a little bit about your horses and what you do.
I still have my quarter horse. He is 26, and my standardbred, who is now 27. And I'm right now very much in the process of possibly, maybe, adopting a new OTTB mare.
Yay!
Oh, yay!
See, I predicted, I think at the beginning of the year we talked to Uta, and I said she would have them by the end of January, but she said it through the whole year. So mid-year, I think it's pretty good, about 50-50, about half.
Well, it's,
good
it's still up in the air a little bit, but I have visited her a few times. I've been going out there, spending some time with her, just giving her some tender, loving care, and I definitely feel like we have a connection, and I love her dearly.
She wants it.
Well, good
what's
for you.
What's slowing you down then?
Well, she is not quite yet for adoption. She had some surgery, and she is still in rehab. So they're waiting to see if she's going to be rideable.
We wish you the best. I know you probably love her dearly. So we wish you the best. This is the way that it's going to work. Well, actually,
Hold on.
To me a little bit. Go ahead, Glenn.
We cannot forget who sponsors this segment, and that is Equity. And, of course, we're talking about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shake and Fork. And, Uta, you told me that thanks to our commercials here, you trusted Jamie and I, which was your first mistake, but you trusted Jamie and I, and you went out and got a three-pack of the Flex and Forks.
Yes, I did. I finally got tired of my other ones breaking. They're just always breaking.
And what have you found? Were we right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the minute I unpacked them, I noticed that they were really lightweight, and actually I thought, oh my gosh, this is never going to hold up. But it's amazing how much those forks can pick up, as lightweight as what they are. And I have really enjoyed, I think they have a thicker handle than the other pitchforks, and that curved end at where you grab it, I love mm-hmm. that curved handle. They're really, really durable, and they pick up amazingly well. Plus, part of my barn is a concrete floor, and as soon as you hit one of those little uneven spots, the other ones, they're gone. This one here has held up so well for me.
And Uta did it right, Jamie. She didn't just buy one, because what happens when you buy one is then the other people in your barn tend to steal them and want to use them all the time, and then you never get your fork. That's what happens with the Flexible Force. So, Uta, you were smart. You bought a three-pack, and you've eliminated all that problem.
There you go.
She heard me talking about my husband and I battling, fighting over the fork. So, yeah, I get it. Good job, Uta.
And it's equitymfg.com. Don't listen to Jamie and I. Listen to our listeners who have bought these. And I'd say it's got to be half our listeners now own these forks because they're the best ones out there. Equitymfg.com. Okay, I am done with my hosting duties, and now I'm going to be a celebrity.
Yeah, well,
that's your
team,
Jamie.
I'm still stuck on the celebrity thing. We've had real celebrities on here, and for a couple weeks, y'all been dealing with us, so we do appreciate that. Well, we're gonna get you some real celebrities on here next time. But Uta, you got screwed. You got to play Glenn. Now the questions were asked.
I think
by,
I picked on him, right?
Yeah, you did it. It was your fault. Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We can't really remember how this whole thing started, but somebody's in charge of this, and Lindsay somehow got involved and wrote the question. So I don't know how this all worked, but we are going to ask these questions. And so
I'm ready.
If you do have a complaint,
going down, Uta.
I'm not going to give you Lindsay's email. So still, if
no,
you
I'm
have a complaint.
No, I'm going to send him to Jennifer.
Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You got it. And so the prize today is the breeches. And apparently you've been wanting a pair of the full seat breeches. So this would be perfect. And the questions are, you're a listener, so you're going to appreciate them. I did not write them. Lindsay did. Are you guys ready?
I don't have to press any buttons today. It's nice. I just sit here and play. All right, I'm ready.
Jen, do you have the buzzer, the bell? And oh, that bell sounds.
You get the bell?
That's a sad bell.
Oh, let me kick it up. Hang on a second. How about this?
That's a sad bell.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there
that's
you go.
Good.
That's better.
That's pretty loud. Good to go. Okay, I'm going to start this by asking Uta will ask you the question, and then I'll go to Glenn, and we're going to ask three questions, and we do have a tiebreaker. So if we need the tiebreaker, we will get to it. Uta, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Okay. I love these questions. All right. Name three horses that are a part of the Horses in the Morning hosts family. For example, Penny. Talked about her earlier.
Ooh. There's Jet, there's Beaker, and there's Scooter.
Very good.
That one.
Very good. We also would have accepted Duke, Edward, Bo from the Endurance Show, Handsome from the Road to the Horse Show, and several others. We also have a couple ponies in my yard. So we would have accepted any of those. Congratulations. You are correct. It is currently 1-0. Glenn, are you ready?
Yeah, mine's not going to be that easy for some reason,
no.
I believe. Go ahead.
You're screwed because I know you. Lindsay wrote these. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for your complaints, Glenn. What
okay.
are the three trot styles that Hackney ponies show in?
Do I get any hints?
No, three trot styles. It's the way Hackney ponies trot in horse shows. Because I know you don't. You're not a horse show guy. You're so screwed. But go ahead.
I am screwed with this one. Trot style. Fast, faster, and fastest. Hey, I got it right.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
Your
wife is cheating. That was a good effort. The three trot styles that Hackney ponies show in is the jog or jog trot, the road gait, and the speed class. So you did get speed kind of as one of them, but we did not accept that. Sorry. It is still 1-0. Uta is in the lead.
It's been a few years since I've seen a roadster pony class. It's been a while.
Now, this is my favorite question of the entire thing. Uta, you are in the lead, 1-0. Who is your favorite Horses in the Morning host?
Jamie.
Jennifer?
We already accept that.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Jamie is the answer. And actually, we would have accepted Glenn or Jennifer as well. You just had to say one name and not, I can't choose, I like them all. That's what we were expecting, and you passed the test. So that was the correct answer. And even I almost think you should get double bonus points for saying me.
There you go. Way to go.
So we're going to move to Glenn for his second question. The score
can
is
I before you ask me my second question, can I remind Can I remind Uta who set up this prize and who could take it away? Can I just remind her of that?
Oh Glenn, you know I love you too.
Out of your hands.
Yeah.
The score currently 4-0. We're going to give you a, let's see, is this multiple choice? Let me read ahead. Oh, no, this is not multiple choice.
Of course not. No, why would it be?
Maybe I can make it multiple choice if you can't get it. All right, the Hackney Pony. The Hackney Pony was bred down by Mr. Wilson of Westmoreland, who not only wanted a smaller Hackney, but one with true pony characteristics. What were the two primary pony breeds that were crossed into the Hackney horse?
Ah, darn, and I knew this one, too. I did know this one because I read it not too long ago, but that was like 2 weeks ago.
Do you want me to give a slew of ponies and you can choose? Good golly, Glenn. You just did an interview about them like last week.
I know. I don't remember. Was Shetland one of them? Was it Shetland?
No, I'll give you multiple choice. Ah, see, you gave it away. Okay, so you're wrong. So the Hackney Pony comes from two ponies, one being, come on, Glenn, you can't come up with a Welsh. Welsh pony?
Oh, see, I went Shetland instead of Welsh. That's where I screwed up. Okay.
And Fell pony. The Fell pony and the Welsh pony.
I should have known that. I love Fell ponies. They're so cute.
Are the pony breeds that were crossed to be Hackney? See, the pressure's on. Now you see what our celebrities and our guests and myself and Jennifer have had to deal with is the fact that these questions, it's stressful. It is stressful, except for Uta.
I know, and I should have known that one. I really should have known that one. That was bad. The first one, not so much, but this one I should have known.
It's embarrassing.
Are you kidding me? I have sweaty palms here now.
Uta, who's your favorite Horses in the Morning host again? I can't remember what your answer was.
I can't decide because I love you all three, but you're asking the question, so it's Jamie.
Of course. There you go. You didn't have to add on. You could have just gone with the name, but whatever. Now the score is currently 2. Back to 2 from 4 million for that comment. Okay, 2-0. We're going to Uta for the third
one. This is pretty
much
a given, huh?
You know, I was listening to your interview actually yesterday because I had missed that, and I cannot believe how much you and I actually have in common. Are you my like long lost sister?
What did we have in common?
Just about everything.
Movies, favorite colors, I mean, everything.
Oh my God, we're like best friends. See, that's
yes,
why you answered my name. See, I'm
yes.
your favorite host.
See, yeah. Now I'm back up to 4 million.
4 million to 0. Here we go. That's awesome. Okay, which of the following? This is multiple choice. Which of the following is not a Horses in the Morning special Tuesday or Thursday show? Is it A, Draft Horse Day, Endurance Day, or Certified Horsemanship Association Day?
A, Draft Horse Day.
That is correct.
Lindsay knows her. Lindsay knows her Horses in the Morning, doesn't she?
She does,
wow.
And so does Todd, thank God, because she's kicking your butt, Glenn. I mean, seriously, this is embarrassing. You have a big goose egg. But you're right. Now, that gives us an idea, Lindsay. Glenn, how do we not have a Draft Horse Day?
I you know, I've been trying to get a Draft Horse Day because, you know, they're like my favorite horses in the whole world. And I've been trying. We are going to the Percheron World Congress. Actually, Wendy and I are going up, and we're going to compete at the Percheron World Congress driving Percheron pairs. So I got that done, but haven't been able to get a I got to get a Draft Horse Day. You're right. That needs to happen.
Okay, well, see, and you got to give Lindsay a cut because she came up with the idea. A cut of zero is zero. So enjoy that, Lindsay. Big prize, big prize. Okay, Glenn, this is multiple choice, okay?
Come on, Glenn, you can do it.
You got to get one right.
Take a deep breath and pay attention. See, that's Jennifer, I know
problem.
That the hardest part of this is Glenn actually listening to the questions. I mean, that's the hardest part, is getting him to listen. So Glenn,
I actually have a shock collar on him right now, and every time he starts to drift, I press the button.
Glenn, I would like for you to repeat this question back to me. That's what I do to my students. I'm like, say something, and I say what I say, what I just say, and I make them repeat it back to me. So which of the following is not a Hackney Pony Show Division?
Which of the following is not a Hackney Pony Show Division? Why does she assume I know anything about Hackney Ponies, by the way, Lindsay?
She had to pick something. It was that or Percheron, so...
Okay, so which of the following is not a Hackney Pony Show Division? I'm ready.
Good job. Is it A, Pleasure Pony, or is it B, Cobtail, or is it C, Trotting Harness and Driving?
I'm going with B, Cobtail. I have no idea what even a Cobtail is, so I'm going with B.
What? Do you want to guess again?
I'm going with C, whatever that one was.
Yay!
There we go.
Trotting harness and driving.
I knew they had driving.
You got one right. Unfortunately, that's not enough to take it. However, Lindsay wrote this question, and so I feel like we need to honor her tiebreaker overtime question because it's really good. Oh, I like it. And
it's
want
not
to.
About a horse movie, is it? Because if it's about a horse movie, I'm just going to give it to Uta now.
No, Uta already wins, so there's no giving it up. It's just testing your knowledge, okay?
Congratulations, Uta, by the way. Good job.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Girl's got herself a new pair of britches.
What's
awesome.
Lindsay's email address again? What's Lindsay's
Jennifer
address?
Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Write that down. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start giving clues. When you know the answer, you are going to yell it out because I don't need you to use your name as a buzzer. I think we can tell you guys apart. All right. So the category is
Glenn.
Name that horse.
Jennifer
name
Lopez.
Name that booty.
Not it.
Name that booty.
That's right.
One, two, and a one. No. Name that
it's
horse.
That or Kim Kardashian. So I
name that booty.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. First clue. First clue, great racehorse. Second clue, chestnut colt.
Secretariat.
Number three, son of fair play. Number four. Jennifer, did you just answer?
No, I did.
Not me.
Oh, that was you? You said Seabiscuit? Seabiscuit's a bay. You're
no, I said.
Oh, you said Seabiscuit? Okay, let's keep going. Subject of a fiction book by Walter Farley. Oh, my God. Only loss was to a horse named Upset.
I said secretariat, was that not it?
No, that's still not it.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay, never mind.
Sire, last clue, sire of war admiral.
Man of war.
God damn you! Yay!
I should have gotten that one much sooner.
You got one, Glenn. Yes. Have you guys not read the book by Walter Farley called Man of War? It is so good. Oh, my gosh. You have to read it. Even if it's, like, partly true, it's totally worth it. Made Man of War my favorite horse of all time because I was a kid when
Isn't
I read that
Man
book.
Man of War,
yeah.
The statue that's at the Kentucky Horse Park that we got our picture taken with? Isn't that Man of War?
It is. Very good, Glenn. We drive in. When you drive into the Kentucky Horse Park, it's the first horse you see standing right there in all his glory. Man o' War.
He was the one that had the huge stride, right? Isn't he the one with the stride?
He had a huge stride. He was a ginormous influence on the breed. Very good, very good. That is true as Man o' War, but however, Glenn, that is not enough to put you over the edge. Uka is still the winner. Congratulations. You get that pair of carrots, full seat riding britches.
Good job, Uka.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Good job.
We're to send in a picture as soon as I bring my new mare home, and I'm going to be sporting them, sitting on her. How is that?
Yay! I love it.
Carrots
and
are like the best breeches. They're a good company, like the best breeches out there. So
they are.
I think you'll
they
like
are. They're awesome.
And even though I didn't play for a charity like you were going to, no worries because I've been trying to donate all kinds of stuff to Canner, Ohio, which where she's at, and I've been taking her stuff that I've been winning and just been loading them up with as much stuff as I can possibly get.
No, you do great, and
yay.
You send Mash a lot of fly masks and everything like that, so we do appreciate it. Uta, you got a big heart, and I'm glad you're going to get some new breeches. For you, you can't give them away. You have to keep them.
Okay, I will keep them. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it
more right.
than you can know.
All right.
Thank you, Uta.
All right, sister.
Thanks for listening.
Talk to you soon. Hold on. Let Jen get your information. Well, Glenn, there's only
that
one
was,
more news story. That
sad.
I have to tell you about. That was pathetic is what that was. I mean, but
sad.
You need to study up on your pony shows a little bit more. Thank you, Lindsay.
I do.
Apparently,
I don't know enough about my own breed of pony. Hackney. I don't know. No.
Well, she I'm did. There were great questions, and Uta did great answering them. But, yeah, it was her wheelhouse, the horses in the morning, so she knows a lot about us. Scary how much they know about us, but good nonetheless.
I was just looking at the comments that we're getting about the peeing question that Jennifer put up on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And there are a lot of people who have comments about how their horses go to the bathroom.
Are you serious?
Only horse people. Yes, only horse people could post this stuff. there's some funny stories, and Yep, you definitely want to check it out. Check out all the answers on that. It's very funny.
Janelle Cameron's funny. My horse has a very private bladder. I still Jennifer's wording makes it not understand how strange it is that your horse pees and eats at the same time. I don't
know.
Understand.
I know. I don't get how he does it either. But before we wrap up here, we have to talk about the fact that we have some prizes for, speaking of contests, we have some prizes for this week's really bad ads coming up. Dr. Rose's Remedies, skin treatment salve and spray, 100% all-natural products. They're anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal, and anti-nasty ant bite, because we use them on the ant bites here for ourselves and the horses. They're made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment of all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is a must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters and helps keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. HorseGroomingSolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solutions brands you come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your tack and feed supplier or online at horsegroomingsolutions.com. I love their wash. Their wash is the best thing ever. I washed PT over the weekend with the wash. I just love that, hooking that hose up to it, and he stands still for that. It's just perfect. We actually had a black racer snake that was harassing us while we were washing the pony in the wash rack the other day. There's this hedgerow that's right beside it, and the pony looked over, and I looked over, this black racer snake sticking his head out about 3 feet away from us, washing the pony, watching. And then, so I squirted him, and about 2 minutes later, he has his head stuck back out, watching us wash the horse. I don't know what that was about or why he was so interested in that particular process. But
he liked the smell. That thing smells so good, that horse wash.
Yes.
It brings the snakes out of the ground. See, that could be their new commercial.
That could be it, actually. It could be the smell. And, you know, we do have, you know, what we talked about on Monday, if you remember right. We had Lisa Wysocki come on because she was talking about a book of hers that actually wins an award. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Magnum Equation is a book that we are in. And she is also adding to the prize pool on Friday for Really Bad Ads, and she's going to give away a signed copy of the Magnum Equation, the book that features the Horses in the Morning crew. So we have that to add to the pile on Friday as well. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Now, this is very important. A lot of people have been posting them on Facebook and just posting links. You cannot just post a link to a Craigslist ad. It will be gone by the time Jennifer gets to it. So copy and paste the whole ad, put it in an email, and send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm done with that.
Are you done? Cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up. I do want to just let everybody know, and I meant to mention it to Victoria, that there was a celebrity polo match, and it was blood against blood, brother against brother, Harry and William. Harry and William played each other in a charity polo match. Of course, I'm talking about the king-to-be and the prince. Prince William and Prince Harry played each other in a grudge match. Who do you think won?
Oh, I'm going to guess the younger one.
Harry, you are correct. Harry does win. I think that William probably has had a lot of sleepless nights with that new baby.
Baby?
No, probably his nanny has. And he's a little bit he's a little tired. So, yes, you are correct. Harry beat William in the charity polo match at the score of 7-5, although I do believe William scored a goal.
I think Harry just looks scrappy, doesn't he? He just looks like a scrappier of the two. So that's why I picked Harry. William's
back in the day. I know. Back in the day, though, you would look at pictures of the two of them and realize, oh, my God, William is going to be so hot, and Harry, oh, poor Harry. Now you look at him and you're like, oh, poor William. Harry is good looking. He got cute.
Something happens when they grow up.
That was me anyway. And that's what I thought.
Well, let's call it a day. Tomorrow on the show, I think we have a best of show tomorrow. And then coming up on Friday, we have our really bad ad section. I did want to add this, that next month, on the fourth Thursday of the month, we are adding one of those. Lindsay, you're going to have to write this down now for a new question. Kim Baker of Kim Baker Horsemanship is going to be taking over the show once a month. I'll be joining her, and we're going to be talking about horsemanship and training and things like that. Kim Baker is also known as an animal communicator, and everybody kind of knows how I feel about that, so it's going to be kind of fun to have her on. So we're going to be taking a look, and she does all kinds of holistic approach to things, so it's going to be a completely different show. Here on the last Thursday of every month. So that should be a lot of fun.
I want to talk to an animal communicator. I want to get like the inside. I totally get it. I buy it. Let's go. I at least want to hear what they have to say. I love
well,
it. I'm
know,
a big
And let me guess,
fan.
Jet. And we want to ask Jet, why do you keep trying to kill her? And we'll see what
he is not trying to kill me anymore. He's a good boy now. But I want to know what he was thinking before.
trying to help you, man. Yeah, I was trying to help you.
Yeah.
Why?
I feed you. I give you shoes. Why are you trying to kill me?
I know.
That's
it,
everybody. Have a great day.
Stay neuter, Geld. Glenn, good job on the questions, buddy.
Yeah.
Good
I got
job.
One. Sorta.
Sorta.